again. We are here to bring a fuller worship service to you today for Palm Sunday, April 5th, the first Sunday of the month. And so we'll be including calls to worship, scripture readings, some music, hymns, some prayers, and being the first of the month, we'll also be having communion as part of the service. So I'll be reading part of the regular communion liturgy. And as we mentioned in our worship resources email that you hopefully received late in this last week, that we're encouraging you to also have at your home a piece of bread or a cracker, something that you can take at that part of the service, as well as a small cup of juice, water, wine, whatever works for you that you have at home that would be meaningful for you. And so the sacraments, they will be blessed during this service for all of us together. And so, words of connecting our theme today. On the back of a humble donkey, Christ looks beyond the shouts of Hosanna in the highest. He is traveling a slow journey to the cross, and he will pay the price of turning the tables on the money changers, upsetting the status quo, and living authentically before God. Will he travel that road alone?
Hello, this is Rob Bickmore, and I am today's worship leader. I will be reading the call to worship. Normally, this is done in a responsive manner. I'll be reading both parts. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. God's steadfast love endures forever. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Blind the festival procession with branches. Jesus is the gate of the Lord. The righteous enter through him. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'll be reading the prayer of confession. God of righteousness, this day places a mirror before our faces. We would rather sing hosannas with a cheering crowd than stand up for our convictions in the face of an angry mob. We would rather dine with Christ at his table than stand up for him in a courtyard of accusers. We would rather see ourselves as Christ's champions than admit to ourselves that we too could betray him with a kiss. Forgive our fickle faith and heal our hesitant hearts. In your loving name we pray. Amen. Today's words of assurance. God has opened the gates of righteousness, and the righteous enter through it. The one who is our cornerstone, the stone the builders rejected, has become our salvation. God offers us forgiveness and fullness of grace. In Christ's name.
Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We're reading Luke's experience and recording of this time in Jesus' life. And so we pick up on verse 28 in the 19th chapter of Luke. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones themselves would shout out." As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God.'" Here ends the reading of the scripture. Walking with God, who knows our pain and has experienced suffering, the worship begins with this joyful procession. And then it's one of the challenges of Palm Sunday. It's also Passion Sunday. And so we move then towards the sorrow and grief of the Passion. But you think about it, don't you love a parade? I mean, there are all kinds of parades, right? Well, this year, with our new shelter-at-home restrictions, there's not going to be any public parades anywhere for some time. But we do know about parades. We have the local parades in the summer and different celebrations like the apple blossoms and the harvest time parades. There's a St. Patrick's parade selling all things Irish. They have a big St. Patrick's Day parade in Chicago. When my wife and I lived out there, we'd go once, not regularly. But they actually color the river green. I don't know if any of you have seen that. And then there's the Gay Pride Parade. Fun, flamboyant, celebrating the freedom to be who you are. I remember hearing about a huge parade in New York City in the 1990s when Nelson Mandela, newly freed from 27 years captivity in a South African prison, he arrived to visit the city after only 4 months of freedom. There are those among us who lead, not merely with their words, but with their whole lives. And this was true of Nelson Mandela. That day, Mandela was greeted by more than 1 million people lining the streets of New York. What a parade that was! To be in the presence, even briefly, of a person with such integrity and love. Maybe that gives us a hint of the amazing hallelujah palm-waving parade that happened on the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem. Imagine the ecstatic cries of welcome all around him. The joy and power of his ministry was so palpable, so inspiring, that as the scripture says, he couldn't keep the crowds quiet because if they were quiet, even the stones would cry out. A hallelujah day, a great day for a parade. But a juncture is up ahead, a fork in the road, a tragedy of great proportion, a choice to make in direction. And the cross is a-coming. Suffering is close at hand. It's told that Kilmer Myers was a pastor of a church in Manhattan. And one of the more disturbing aspects he shares of his pastorate was a woman named Emma, who used to stand outside the church every day at 4 p.m. and scream insults at Jesus. Emma's deep pain was understandable. She was a survivor of the Holocaust. She had seen and experienced horrendous things. Well, one day, Pastor Myers went outside and he said to Emma, "Why don't you go inside and tell him?" Well, she disappeared into the church and an hour went by and Emma hadn't returned. And so Kilmer was worried and he decided to look in on her. He found Emma lying before the cross, absolutely still. Reaching down, he touched her shoulder. She looked up with tears in her eyes and said quietly, "After all, he was a Jew too." There is horrendous suffering in the world. This is the truth of it. And today, with a coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic, all of us are experiencing and witnessing suffering on a global scale. And Jesus is no stranger to suffering. The shouts of hallelujahs, the waving palms surround him now, and yet a juncture is up ahead, a fork in the road, a tragedy of great proportion, a choice to make in direction. The cross is a-coming. And here's the thing. Like Jesus, each of us is headed toward a cross, one way or another. There are two divergent paths, the way of the crowd and the way of Jesus. The great poet W.H. Auden, he was asked once why he was a Christian instead of a Buddhist or a Confucian, since all these religions share similar ethical values. And Auden responded by saying, "Because nothing in the figure of Buddha or Confucius fills me with the overwhelming desire to scream, 'Crucify him.' The desire to crucify him is the way of the crowd. The way of the crowd, it's seductive. It casts out and separates, and violence hovers over. It lets us say, as Jesus' own disciples will soon say, 'That man, I don't know him. He's not one of us.' Traversing the way of the crowd, we are finally isolated. We're at odds with our true selves. A juncture is up ahead, a fork in the road, a tragedy of great proportion, a choice to make in direction. The cross is a-coming. There are two divergent paths. The way of the crowd is one. The way of Jesus is the other." Let me tell you a story. A young man who was studying to be a nurse reflected how he and his fellow classmates had some rough days getting used to the inevitability of sickness and death. And then out of the blue, one of the student nurses in their group, apparently she was in her early 40s, she was diagnosed with massive inoperable brain cancer and told she'd probably die within a couple of months. She had a 13-year-old son and a husband. And so that week, all the student nurses put together an offering for their friend, a handmade blanket. And they went together to the waiting room where the husband was and stood around him in a circle while he cried and cried and cried. Later, that student nurse shared how he had wanted to fall down, how his legs felt like giving way and crumpling underneath him. He said, "How can something so unbearably sad, how can something be so unbearably sad and just so, so beautiful?" Traversing the way of Jesus, we go through suffering, and we do not go it alone. In the presence of Jesus' love, a love that goes beyond death, in freedom, we love one another along the way. We love one another through it all. Love one another to the end. And His wounds meet our wounds and invite us to be made whole. Jesus, who accepts today's hosannas, knowing that His friends will betray Him, the crowd will turn on Him, and His only crown will be pain. Like Jesus, who does not claim equality with God, emptying His own self so He can be filled with God's love. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. "Look," Jesus says, "this is how you do it." And on the edge of His suffering, Scripture tells us, as He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, He wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." Well, after the big parade and the fanfare, He gathered those closest to Him, and as we are told in Luke 22, when it was time, He sat down, all the apostles with Him, and said, "You've no idea how much I have looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat it together in the kingdom of God." So taking the cup, He blessed it, and then said, "Take this and pass it among you. As for me, I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God arrives." And taking bread, He blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat it in my memory." He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant written in my blood, blood poured out for you. Do you realize that the hand of the one who is betraying me is at this moment on this table? It's true that the Son of Man is going down a path already marked out. No surprises there. But for the one who turns him in, turns traitor to the Son of Man, this is doomsday." They immediately became suspicious of each other and began quizzing one another, wondering who might be about to do this. Within minutes, they were bickering over who of them would end up the greatest. But Jesus intervened. "Kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you. Let the senior among you become like the junior. Let the leader act the part of the servant. Who would you rather be, the one who eats the dinner or the one who serves the dinner? You'd rather eat and be served, right? But I've taken my place among you as the one who serves, and you've stuck with me through thick and thin. Now I confer on you the royal authority my Father God conferred on me so that you can eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and be strengthened as you take up responsibilities among the congregations of God." And continuing a little bit more in Luke, "Simon," He said, "stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me, like chaff from wheat. Simon, I've prayed for you in particular, that you not give in or give out. When you have come through the time of testing, turn to your companions and give them a fresh start. Peter said, Master, I'm ready for anything with you. I'd go to jail for you. I'd die for you. And Jesus said, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Peter, but before the rooster crows, you will have three times denied that you even know me. The God we encounter at the table, on trial, and hanging from the cross is not like anything or anyone else we can encounter. God whom we meet in Christ Jesus is God who does not avoid the suffering of the world, but enters into it. God whom we encounter around the table is not a God waiting to be served, but one who leads in the serving. God who encounters the convicted criminal on the cross is not a God who shies away from offering himself in mercy, but one who offers himself fully. During the course of this coming week, what we of the Christian tradition call Holy Week, we will be journeying with Jesus in the final hours of his life. A juncture is up ahead, a fork in the road, a tragedy of great proportion, a choice to make in direction. The way of the crowd, the way of Jesus. The cross is a-coming. His wounds meet our wounds and invite us to be made whole. Amen. So though we are worshiping virtually, we're not together in the same sanctuary together, at this time we remember that we bring our tithes and our offerings, and we bring the communion elements, the bread and the cup, to the table. And a reminder that since you can't carry your offering to the table, but you can mail them in, you can drop them at the church, you can pay online through the bill pay system on your financial institution's website. We still need to have that part of our worship, the giving part of worship. And so we offer this prayer in dedication of our offerings.
Holy One, your love for us is so great that you gave us your own Son to teach us the ways of life and death. May the gifts and offerings we bring this morning reflect our gratitude for Christ's giftless self, for Christ's anguish and passion, and for Christ's never-failing love. Amen.
So we are, as we are gathered for communion, for sharing together at the table, you at your homes, and me here in my home, we come together giving thanks. So Christ be with you all, and lift up your hearts to God. Let us give thanks together to the Holy One. It is a right, good, and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give our thanks to you, O God, who led the Israelites out of bondage into freedom, who commanded them to keep the Passover as a remembrance of how you saved their firstborn from death and how you brought them out of the land of Egypt. And so, with your creatures on earth and all the heavenly chorus, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, if you'll repeat after me, Holy, holy, holy one, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in your holy name. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and holy is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who taught us how to love and serve one another, and who poured out his life for the healing of the world. On the night in which he gave himself up, we remember that he took the bread, he blessed it and shared it. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me. This is my body given for you. And later, after the supper, he took the cup, and again he gave thanks to God. He passed the cup among his disciples, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant, poured out in my blood, for you and all, for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Respond after me, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We lift up our hands and pray to the Holy Spirit that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ in service to all who are oppressed. God of Moses and Miriam and Aaron, God of Exodus and Calvary, God of memory and hope, we praise your holy, eternal name. Amen. And so at this time, you're invited to take your bread or cracker, and to give thanks, and to eat it. And after that, you please take your cup of juice or water, give thanks, and then drink that. Amen. During the singing of our closing song, What Wondrous Love Is This, we would normally experience on Palm Passion Sunday at our church the ritual, the ancient ritual of stripping the altar. And so, since we are not here to witness that, I would have you imagine it taking place as we sing the song, as you listen to the song. And if possible, click on the link for the hymn on the worship resources page of our church website. And then if you have an altar area in your home or wherever you are, clear it of everything, leaving only a bare cross. As all is cleared from the worship space, we experience in a symbolic way the barrenness, the grief, and humiliation of the cross. The candles will be brought out at the very last, signaling the conclusion of our worship. And then you may sit in silence for a moment, reflecting on these events. So then we'll hear, what wondrous love is this? So before our benediction, just a reminder and an invitation to each of you. This coming week is Holy Week, the final week of our Lenten journey with Jesus to the cross and then resurrection. We will have resources for you on the church website, specifically for Maundy Thursday and the Last Supper, and also Good Friday. For Good Friday, hopefully we'll have a visual Stations of the Cross walk meditation, as well as a video of a Good Friday service with Bishop Carcano. And of course, Easter Day itself, next Sunday. Hear then, receive then, this benediction. The gates of righteousness are thrown wide. Go with God's blessings. The path of salvation is made plain. Go in Christ's truth. The cornerstone of our faith is sure. Go with the Spirit's grace. Go with God and walk with Christ during this Holy Week. Amen.